Hello and welcome everyone, friends, family. If you're new and exploring the Beloved City Church family, or maybe you're new to exploring faith and spirituality, welcome. We're so glad that you're here with us online today. Hey, at Beloved City Church, we are so passionate about growing a thriving and life-giving church where you and your family can flourish spiritually and relationally, where you can belong before you believe. It's beautiful, where you can both meaningfully receive and valuably contribute as a member of the spiritual family while you continue on your journey, just like us, of finding hope and healing. As you journey to know God and find freedom and discover your purpose and make a difference, this is the mission that we exist for here at Beloved. We truly believe that everyone needs Jesus and everyone needs a home. So we're so excited that you're with us here. Yet, not only are we a church that exists for a distinct purpose and mission, at Beloved City Church, we also choose to be people who are led by Jesus and shaped by grace and moved by love. And this is shaped by such a distinct set of cultural targets here in our household that we choose to practice, to grow in targets which prescribe and describe the culture that we are growing here at Beloved. When you think culture, think attitude, right? And when you think values, think behavior. This is fundamental, friends, to our discipleship, our growth and development as Jesus followers here and now, which means it's about becoming more like Jesus in the way that we live, give, serve, and love. So we choose to love God. These are the values that we are targeting and we are shooting for. We're loving God with all of our heart, loving people, and pursuing actions, just doing our best, and choosing joy. It really is about choosing our attitude. So if you'll open your Bibles, your smartphones, and pull out your notebooks, I believe God wants to teach us something special today. And if you're driving and listening, I can't wait to hear what God's saying to you. If you're sitting beside a friend in your home, in your living room, God wants to speak to us. And I'm just thankful that we get to be a part of this online here together with you. Holy Spirit, soften our hearts to receive what you have to say today. The seeding of the Word of God, and open our eyes to see and our ears to hear what the Spirit is saying to our church. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Some of you know that I grew up in church, and I've seen many people choose to follow Jesus for the very first time, and I've seen many people who have completely deconstructed and walked away from their faith. I remember many conversations with loved ones and with friends, and where they have confessed that they didn't really want to be a Christian anymore. And sadly, many of those decisions were based off of how they were treated, or maybe they were offended by religious kind of systems, right? Hurt by another Christian or a leader, and even a pastor. And I know a pastor acquaintance where their son recently walked away from his faith in Christ because he felt that he had to choose between loving God and loving his homosexual friends. So he chose loving his homosexual friends. And what is so heartbreaking about these stories is that as we've been exploring throughout this series, Beautiful People of the Kingdom of Heaven, Jesus never separated loving God from loving others. Despite where they're at on their journey of faith, or if they have faith at all, Jesus never separated loving God from loving others. As a matter of fact, over and over again, he joined those ideas together. Loving God and loving people, we're joined together. That's what Jesus continued to demonstrate to us. It helps us understand that in the kingdom of heaven, here and now, we are called to love God with every part of who we are, right? Our heart, soul, and mind, and strength, and to love others the same way that God has loved us. They're equal. Not one's not greater than the other. It's a both and. And by the way, fun fact, Jesus added mind in there, as he quoted from the Torah in this passage of scripture, where it was specifically written as heart, soul, and strength. But Jesus says with all your mind too, right? So now that we are in the second to last week of our series, Beautiful People, and we've been exploring Jesus' manifesto on what life is like when God is in charge. And throughout this series, we have discovered what it means to be the kind of people we become when we are led by Jesus and shaped by his grace and moved by his love rather than the values of our host culture. And today we are looking at the first 12 verses of the last chapter of this sermon, Matthew chapter 7, where Jesus will continue to confront our assumptions, dismantle our conceptions, and reconfigure our rhythms and patterns if we let him, to be more in line with the values of God's kingdom rather than the values of our host culture, and what it really looks like to live according to these values that we're discovering. Yet, none of these things that we've been learning are actually that easy to live out, right? And tragically, as a church here in Canada, North America, and even around the world sometimes, we have so often gotten these things wrong, gotten these values wrong. A recent poll indicates that the three words most often ascribed to Christians by non-Christians in North America are judgmental, bigoted, and hypocritical. There's probably no better evidence than that to show how far we've actually missed the mark when it comes to faithfully following Jesus and being ambassadors of the kingdom of heaven. Christians as a whole in our country may not be the salt, the leaven, and the light that Jesus has called us to be. This is especially tragic, friends, when we understand that we have become known for, then what we've become known for is the exact opposite of what Jesus has taught us to be. So then, what did he teach? Well, we're going to continue to examine. And I myself desire to be challenged in this confrontation of my values and my ethics and how am I living out this Jesus way? So here are three things today that we're going to learn about the beautiful people of the kingdom of heaven here now. People who are led by Jesus, shaped by grace, moved by love, beautiful people. Number one is we look in the mirror before we point a finger. Number two is we lead with compassion and not condemnation. And number three, we love others the way we would want to be loved. These are three things that we're going to unpack today. Jesus is teaching us about how we are meant to relate to other people. And we'll unpack this teaching found in Matthew chapter 7, where this passage of scripture specifically is one of the most commonly misunderstood and least practiced passages of scripture found throughout the New Testament. And so together we're going to walk through this and do the best that we can to understand what it is that Jesus was getting at, that wanted us to learn so that we can live according to his values and ethics and not simply our desires. See, so often we live by our desires and not according to his values. So picking up in this verse on Matthew 7, verse 1 of Matthew 7, here's what Jesus is, he says. He says, "Do not judge or you too will be judged. For in the same way you judge others, you will be judged. And with the measure you use, it will be measured to you." Now, this is a Bible verse that seems to be most popular in our present day, right? Don't be judging me, it says, or be judged the way you judge. But most people who quote this verse don't understand what Jesus is saying. Most often people have mistranslated this verse to think that Jesus commanded a universal acceptance of any lifestyle or teaching. But yet we know the rest of the scripture doesn't support that conclusion. So what is Jesus teaching us to do? To live, how to live? Well, I believe that what Jesus is challenging us to do is to not be judgmental. That is in judging people's motives and the inner man, which only God can know, right? Only God knows the heart. Yes, we can see the fruit of humanity's passions and their belief systems and their thoughts through their actions and behaviors, but we can rarely judge their motives with any accuracy at all. See, what's important to recognize is that there are different ways of understanding judgment, right? Because there is a good judgment, and then there's also bad judgment. So what type of judgment is Jesus calling us out on? Well, it's the type of judgment that sees others as less than. It's the type of judgment that looks down on other people. Because there's the judgment that means to discern, which would be the opposite of looking down on people, which is all about telling the difference between two things. And then there's this kind of judgment that is about condemning, which is all about looking down on others or seeing them as less than. So there's discerning and there's looking down on. There's two different types of judgment. Jesus is not saying that we should not practice good judgment, which is knowing the difference between right and wrong, good and evil, true and false, helpful and harmful. Being able to discern the difference between these things is really important to us to live as beautiful people of the kingdom of heaven. But we are not to get this wrong, friends, to the point where instead of telling the difference between things, we begin looking down on other people, right? Judgmental. So here's what Jesus is getting at in the first two verses of this section. He's saying, don't look down on others, because if you look down on others, others are going to look down on you. And so the question that we have to ask for those of us who are followers of Jesus is, how do we want to be judged? And whatever way that is how we are called to judge others. And I would surely hope that you would choose to discern and not to condemn. Because I don't think any of us want to be looked down on because of the things that we do wrong, because of the things that we don't have, or because of the things that people might disagree with us about. And friends, I would even add, when you feel like someone else has it better than you or more joyful than you, we often respond with similar condemnation and look down on them as well. You just got it all figured out. You think you're so good, right? But yet one of the challenges that we've got to be aware of is the fact that it can be really easy to justify our judgment. And one of the ways that we've done this as Christians is we've said things like, hey, we want to love the sinner, but hate the sin. And while that sounds really spiritual and good at first, when we take a closer look, what we begin to realize is that when we think about loving the sinner and hating the sin, we're actually putting our focus exactly where Jesus tells us it shouldn't be. So let's pick that up. In verse 3 of Matthew 7, Matthew 7:3, why do you look at the speck of sawdust in your brother's eye and pay no attention to the plank in your own eye? How can you say to your brother, let me take the speck out of your eye when all the time there's this big plank in your eye? You hypocrite. There's that word again, Hippocrates. First take the plank out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly enough to remove the speck from your brother's eye. So what is it that Jesus is getting at here? Is he asking us to not look down on others because of what they do wrong? That's what the speck symbolizes, right? It's the things that other people are doing wrong in their life. It's the sin in their lives, maybe. And the plank are the things that we are doing wrong, is sin in our lives. And this is so important because the more we focus on other people's sins, the easier it is to ignore our sins. Ah, and the enemy loves it when we get confused by this. Dietrich Bonhoeffer said it this way. He said that judging others makes us blind, whereas love is illuminating. By judging others, we blind ourselves to our own evil, into the grace which others are just as entitled to us to as we are. That was Dietrich Bonhoeffer. And as followers of Jesus, friends, as beautiful people of the kingdom of heaven here and now, people who are led by Jesus, shaped by grace and moved by love, we are called to live according to the values of God's kingdom and not the values of our culture. And friends, the reality is that we live in a host culture where there is this overwhelming desire to call out, to condemn, and to cancel offenders, right? But what Jesus is telling us is that as his followers, our priority has to be on confessing our sins and not just calling out other people's sins. See, friends, the culture of God's kingdom is confession culture, not cancel culture or call out culture, right? Because when we focus on the things that we've done wrong first, then we can begin to see clearly who we are and who others are. Because it's actually the church of Jesus, the body of Christ, that is designed to be the safest place for you and I to open up about all those things in our lives that we're ashamed of, that brings brokenness in our lives, the things that we've done wrong or doing wrong, the sins that you and I want to keep hidden. The church is supposed to be, is designed to be the place where you and I can go to confess those things that just don't bring life to the fullest in our lives, to bring them before others in our city groups and in our huddles and before God. Why? So that you can experience healing and freedom. And guess what? This isn't solely the responsibility on my shoulders to lead as a lead pastor to create this safe space alone. Yes, I can lead the way as God has called and ordained myself and Pastor Angela for, but it takes all of us friends participating in creating that safe space together. See, when we confess our sins to God, we are met with forgiveness. When we confess our sins to God, we are met with forgiveness. When we confess our sins to one another, we experience healing. And all of us as human beings, no one here is exempt from this, by the way, not even myself. We've all made a mess of our lives in some way, shape, or form. We all need the grace and the mercy of God to reshape our values and our ethics. Our ethics is our ethos, right? Which means our way of living. And since the very beginning, the church, God's plan A, not my plan, not your plan, God's, right, was always meant to be a hospital for sinners and not a museum for saints, right? A hospital for sinners, not a museum for saints. I can't get this right today. A place of hope and healing. And so we have to be extra careful as beautiful people of the kingdom of heaven that we don't fall into the temptation of focusing on other people's sins while ignoring our own sins. Because of what Jesus is inviting us to is to not look down on others because of what they do wrong. Deal with your own plank, friends. Deal with your blind spots. Then you will be able to see clearly to be able to help your brother and sister with their speck. And let me just be practical for a second, just to bring this right down to reality. If you struggle with engaging in pornography, or you're addicted to pornography, don't find someone else who is struggling with the same pornography addiction to help you. Find someone who has championed overcoming this addiction through Christ. They're the ones who have the clarity of sight to actually help you. Too often, friends, we look for sympathizers in our sin rather than accountable change partners. Now, in this next verse, what Jesus is going to do is he's going to come at things from a different angle. Instead of just focusing on what others do wrong, Jesus also wants us to pay attention to another thing that can cause us to see ourselves as greater than others and others as less, right? So here's what he says in Matthew 7:6. He says, do not give dogs what is sacred. Do not throw your pearls to pigs. If you do, they may trample them under your feet and turn and tear you to pieces. Now, for us in modern day world, in Christianity, where we don't have, pearls and swines and all this kind of fun stuff, Here's what I believe Jesus is getting at here. Jesus is saying, don't look down on others because of what they don't have. Because judgment, condemnation, doesn't always come from focusing on the things that other people do wrong. Sometimes it also comes from focusing on the other things that people don't have. Right? See, friends, on this journey we call life, there will be times where we have something that others don't, where we have sacred things actually, where we have pearls of great price. Maybe it's our relationship with Jesus that our friends don't have. Maybe it's because we believe that Jesus is the way, the truth, and life, and those other people are living a lie. Maybe it's because we are the kind of people who practice empathy and compassion instead of being rude and unkind like those people. And if we are not careful with that kind of attitude, when we frame things in that way, we can start to see our relationships with them as a conflict between us and them. And we start to elevate ourselves to think more higher of ourselves than we ought to, like Paul talks, because of what we do have. And much like the religious people in the days of Jesus that he was talking about, they looked down on others because they weren't as spiritual maybe as they were, or as righteous as they are, right, or were. And when we think like this, lowering others because of what they don't have, over time we start seeing others as less than human. We begin dehumanizing others, and that's just frankly just not the Jesus way, friends. And I believe that's why Jesus is saying that the other characters in this part of the story are dogs and pigs. Friends, if we're not careful, we can begin to look down on others so much that we stop seeing them as human beings who are also made in the image of God. And yet I also believe it's just as important to grow in the wisdom of the Holy Spirit. Dogs and pigs in this context can also mean those who are hostile to the gospel of Jesus. Our love for others must not blind us to the hardened rejection of the gospel. Love people, share your story, invite them in, lead others to know God and find freedom, discover their God-given purpose, and to join you in making a difference in this world. Yet I understand this, there will be people, friends, who will reject you and the gospel of Christ. Don't take it personal and quit being salt, light, and leavened, right? That's not what we do. Just because you get offended or because someone takes it out on you, don't take it personal and quit being what you've been called to be. Keep farming, keep sowing this, keep being light and leaven and salt. Water it, nurture it, give your best, and let God do the rest. Our pearls of the precious gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the very image of God, may confuse and anger unbelievers. Mm-hmm. Who are blinded to the truth by the God of this age, as Paul says in 2 Corinthians 4:4. Yet Jesus did not say this to discourage us from sharing the gospel. He says this to call us back to discernment rather than condemnation. And to encourage us to look for prepared hearts around us. Look for people of peace who will actually receive you. You and I get this beautiful opportunity, friends, to join the conversation with people that the Holy Spirit is already having with that person. Steve Corbett is a Christian leader who has spent a tremendous amount of time helping to meet the needs of people throughout the world, around the world, who don't have a lot of material, goods or wealth. And here's what he talks about when it comes to this idea. He says that until we embrace our mutual brokenness, our work with low-income people is likely to do more harm than good. I sometimes unintentionally reduce poor people to objects that I use to fulfill my own need to accomplish something. I'm not okay, and you are not okay, but Jesus can fix us both. That's what Steve Corbett says. Now, one of the greatest dangers to our discipleship is assuming that we are better than others because we have something they do not. We are Christians and they are not, maybe, right? Or we have the facts and they do the true, whatever it is. We have empathy, they don't, right? And anytime we frame the dynamic as an us versus them, we're missing the mark, friends. And friends, that way of thinking is a cancer that cripples the body of Christ, that cripples our ability to be beautiful people of the kingdom of heaven. The way of Jesus is never meant to see others as less than, but as loved. Now, the beauty of Jesus is that when people were seen by their culture as less than, Jesus always saw them as loved. There's this event in the gospel accounts where this crowd of people who are described as being harassed and helpless were like sheep without a shepherd. But instead of seeing them as less than, irritating or frustrating or whatever, instead of seeing them through the eyes of condemnation, the Bible tells us that Jesus looked at them and was moved with compassion. He saw them for who they really are, human beings made in the very image of God who are desperate for love and for mercy. And so for those of us who are followers of Jesus, who identify as the beautiful people of the kingdom of heaven here and now, we want to make sure that we don't make the same mistake of looking down on others because of what they don't have. So as we've been walking through this part of the Sermon on the Mount, we've covered a lot of things of what not to do, right? Don't judge. Don't look down on others because of what they do wrong and what they don't have. Now, the next part of this passage of scriptures where Jesus flips the script again away from what not to do. And instead, Jesus begins to talk about what to do when it comes to how we relate to one another, to relate to others. So picking up in verse 7, he says this in Matthew 7, 7, "Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. The one who seeks finds. And to the one who knocks, the door will be opened. Which of you, if your son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, he'll give him a snake? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give good gifts to those who ask him?" Ask, seek, knock. Here's what Jesus does not say. He doesn't demand or take and go ahead and barge in. That's not what he's saying, right? Because what happens when you try to take something from somebody else, you barge in, you demand that you take something that's not yours. What happens? They hold on to it tighter, right? Defend it. But what happens when we humble ourselves and ask people for help? More often than not, people are actually really willing to share. See, what Jesus is helping us to see here is that anytime we want something from somebody else, including God, they always have the freedom to say no, because we're all human beings made in the image of God. And we all have the dignity to choose what we think is best. And what other people might think is best might actually be different than what we think is best. But when we try to force our views or convictions on them, what's going to happen is they're going to actually become resistant to whatever it is that you're trying to offer. And so Jesus is saying, hey, humble yourself and honor others, because no matter where you are or who you are, no matter what they've done, no matter what they have said, they're still a human being made in the image of God. And that mentality, that posture of humility applies just as much to other people as it does to our Heavenly Father. We don't control and manipulate others. And we definitely don't control and manipulate God. We can't. And so we have to resist the temptation to try to force God to give us what we want, first off. But instead, we are to look to the example of Jesus to shape how we interact with others. Because what does our Heavenly Father do with us? He's not this puppet master pulling the strings behind the curtains. What he is a loving Father who honors our freedom to choose. See, without free will choice, true love cannot exist. So he honors our dignity. And so as we are interacting with other people, instead of trying to shame them for what they've done wrong, instead of trying to force good things on them that they don't have to do, but we do, we don't, you know, we're called to simply offer requests, to invite them to share, to give and to be open and to be generous, because that is the way of the kingdom. And that's what Jesus is inviting us to do, taking an approach defined by humility and, I would say, curiosity. How different would our relationships look if we took this seriously, choosing compassion and curiosity over condemnation? All right, so then in Matthew 7 and 12, Jesus summarized everything up to this point with these words. "So in everything do to others which you would have them do to you, for this sums up the law and the prophets." Do to others what you would have them do to you. This is what some people would call the golden rule, right? Do what you would want other people to do to you. Do unto others. You've heard this. I love the way Dallas Willard talks about this when he says that the golden rule is devoted to the good in the lives of those around us. And this reaches far beyond the mere absence of harm. It aspires toward a remarkable richness in their lives, not simply the alleviation of suffering. What Jesus is trying to help us understand, friends, is that as beautiful people of the kingdom of heaven, there is a big difference between condemnation and compassion. See, condemnation looks down on others, but compassion seeks the good of others. And as followers of Jesus, as beautiful people of the kingdom of heaven, people who have been led by him, people who have been shaped by his grace, people who are moved by his love, our posture should always be to show compassion to others, to seek the good in them, to love them the way that we would want to be loved, becoming the kind of people who can actually love our neighbors the way we would want to be loved. Now, I know at this point it's really easy to talk about these things and nod our heads and say, oh man, that sounds really good. But it's really challenging to actually live these truths out in practice, isn't it? And so what I want to do is simply reflect with you on what it is that God is leading us to help us change, to be conformed into his likeness, to be more like Jesus. As a follower of Jesus, that's who we're being discipled by. There are times when we get it wrong. There are times where we fall prey to the bad kind of judgment. We want to condemn people. Where we look down on others because of what they do wrong or because of what they don't have, what they're doing, maybe because of the ways that we just disagree with what they think or believe. And so here's what I believe God is revealing to us, that beautiful people are called to, number one, to look in the mirror before we point a finger. In a world where we are navigating all kinds of tensions and divisions throughout our country, our world, our workplaces, our relationships, facing anger and frustration, sometimes we do more harm than good. Sometimes we actually fuel outrage and feed the division rather than calling for people to have empathy for the other side. And instead of actually seeing the other side as human beings to be loved, it sometimes seems like we demonize them and dehumanize others in a way that drives people further apart. And sometimes we think that we have a pretty good grasp on how we're acting and how to convey empathy, that just maybe we almost have this all figured out, right? To realize by the nudging of the Holy Spirit that in our participation in doing the exact same thing, we are judging the judges, condemning the condemners, wanting to offer our counsel to the counselors, to cancel the cancelers. I'm praying that the Holy Spirit, friends, will continue to nudge our hearts and to reveal to us our own hypocrisy, that God will help us to get better at this, to have compassion for others, to see them as He sees them. Psalms, the psalmist in Psalm 139 has been my prayer for many of these times where the Holy Spirit has revealed to me that my heart and motivations are wrong. The psalmist writes this, "Search me, God, know my heart, test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there's any offensive way in me and lead me in the way of everlasting." See, when I'm wrong, I want to repent, change my direction. I need the strengthening of the Holy Spirit to follow Him more faithfully. Having spiritual leaders in our lives is meant to encourage us and to help us to be accountable to change in our growth and our development. And what I'm learning is that as beautiful people of the kingdom of heaven here and now, we are called to look in the mirror, to see our reflection in the Word of God before we point any fingers. Now, the second thing that I believe God has been revealing to us in today's series is, as the beautiful people are called, to lead with compassion and not condemnation. You see, when we get frustrated with people, it's really easy to begin to think less about them and then to say things that are not honoring about them. It wasn't too long ago that I heard another pastor say these words that I believe ring so true. He said that if your heart isn't breaking for them, you better not open your mouth about them. See, it can be far too easy to talk about people in ways that are not even close to honoring them as human beings who are made in the same image of God. I'm asking God to help us to change and for the leaders around us to hold us accountable to this change. I truly desire, friends, for us to be people who see others the way God does and to treat them the same way that God would. So when we find ourselves angry and critical or frustrated with someone else or our culture or whatever it is, we can fight to have empathy, to recognize them as someone who has hopes and dreams and desires and fears just like you and I and frustrations, someone who is doing the best they can with what they have and what they know. People who even know they don't always get it right just like you and I are honestly probably trying the best they can with what they know just like you and I are. Beautiful people of the kingdom of heaven, friends, we lead with compassion and not condemnation. And then the last thing that I want to point out that I trust God is teaching us in is that beautiful people of the kingdom of heaven, we are called to love others the way we would want to be loved. Friends, we are called to love others the same way that God, through Christ, has loved us. God, Christ laid His life down for us. And we are called to the same kind of living out loud, laying our lives down for others. But yet what's interesting in this passage of scripture that we read, Jesus talked about the kingdom way of doing for others what we would want them to do for us or done for us. An absolute contrast to our host culture's discipleship of what's do what's best for you. That's what our culture teaches us. And as we've been unpacking this Beautiful People series, here's what you might be realizing is that it is really hard to actually know and do what Jesus would do because that standard seems really high. And it might be even feel as though it's unachievable. But in and through the Holy Spirit, friends, we have been given the mind and character of Jesus. And it's just that our discipleship has most often been influenced by the loudest voices around us that we allow to permeate our little worlds. And quite often it's our host culture, our society, our worldview that's been framed by our experiences on this earth. See, if beautiful people of the kingdom of heaven are called to love others the way we would want to be loved. So here's a concept that might help our reflections. It's this concept of the different stages of maturity in our spiritual life, our spiritual growth and development, our spiritual formation, where the first stage is simply us asking the question, what do I want, right? The second stage is learning to ask the question, what would I want if I were you? And then the final stage of spiritual maturity is, what would Jesus do? Three stages. And as we're going on this journey of becoming more like Jesus for the sake of others, not just for us, right? It's a little bit about me and a whole lot about the we. Discipleship is what this is called. At Beloved City Church, we explore this even deeper in our city groups. If you're not a part of a city group, jump into a city group, friends. Eventually, we want to arrive at stage three, but the reality is, I don't think we're there yet. Because there's a lot of times where we think about what we want to do, and then we just try to justify why Jesus would do what we would do. Instead of actually doing the work of slowing down and asking the question, what would I want if I were you, Jesus? Holy Spirit, nudge me in us in the way that if I were in that other person's situation, what would I want somebody else to do for me? And then ask yourself, how can I do that for them? That's really practical, right? And so here we are. The things that I'm learning is I'm learning that in the kingdom of heaven, the beautiful people of the kingdom of heaven, we look in the mirror before we point our finger. And I'm learning that in the kingdom of heaven, we lead with compassion and not condemnation. And finally, I'm learning that as beautiful people of the kingdom of heaven, we love others the same way that we would want to be loved. Now, I know that maybe some of you at this point are asking the question, okay, but like, what about truth and accountability, right? And that's a fantastic question because those both absolutely matter. Because as followers of Jesus, we are called to follow the one who is truth in human form, Jesus. But how we bring truth and accountability makes a big difference, doesn't it? Because if all we do is preach truth from a distance, whether on stage or on your social media, then it's going to be really hard for people to receive it. This is why Jesus is inviting us to practice love up close and personal, to bring truth and accountability to others in the same way that we would want it brought to us. That's why, beloved, we do life and ministry together. It's not about being alone. Don't do life alone. Don't do ministry alone, right? It's about doing it together, practicing the way of Jesus together with love and with mercy, with grace, with compassion, with kindness. And I think that's what's so powerful about all this. It's this approach that actually leads to repentance, not just in my life, but in others as well. The Apostle Paul in Romans 2, verses 3 says this. He says that when you, a mere human being, pass judgment on them and yet you do the same thing, do you think that you will escape God's judgment? Or do you show contempt for the riches of his kindness, his forbearance and his patience, not really realizing that God's kindness, his kindness, is actually intended to lead you to repentance? You see, friends, when we try to force our way of thinking on other people, it isn't going to lead them to change. They'll just avoid you, resent you, be frustrated with you. But when we genuinely love people where they are and as they are, the least, the last, and the lost, the same way that Jesus has loved us, what it does is it opens people up to the truth of who God is. Why? Because it's revealed in you when you live as beautiful people of the kingdom of heaven. And the life that he too has called them to, the same life as us. And this is beautiful, friends. We simply get to show up and show those around us the love of Jesus up close and personal, because only love gets close enough to know, friends. And for those of us who are beautiful people of the kingdom of heaven, followers of Jesus, we've been called to be led by him wherever he takes us, to be shaped by the grace that transforms us from the inside out, and to be moved by love for others, for the sake of others, because ultimately that's what we would want others to do for us, to love us the same way that Jesus would. In closing, John 3:16 reveals to us that Jesus didn't come to condemn the world, friends, but he actually came to save it. And that is exactly what we've been called to do too, as well, to reach the least, the last, the lost, that they might be saved, not condemned. How do you reach? By invitation, inviting everybody you know. Everybody needs Jesus and everybody needs a home, friends. Come, let's explore together what it means to follow Jesus. He is the one who came to give us the free gift of righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. And what do we say? We respond with, thank you, Jesus. Wow. Thank you, God. All around the room, listening online, wherever you are right now, if you could just pause for a moment and close your eyes and reflect on what Holy Spirit is saying to you. I want to close with a prayer and leave you out for the day. Pray, we'll pray and ask for his help. Jesus, first, I just want to thank you so much for everything that you've done in our lives and for the people that you've put in our life to get us to where we are today, to be able to use story and share it in such a positive, impacting way. Father, we thank you for being such a good, good Father, a Father that always leads us and never forsakes us, leads us and never forsakes us. Father, I pray that everyone watching in person or here online today, listening, that we are people that are led by Jesus, that we are people who are willing to be shaped by grace, transformed from the inside out, and people who are willing to be moved by love for the sake of others. And Father, I pray that everybody knows in this moment that no matter what they're going through, no matter what they've been through, no matter where they are right now, Father, that you are their Father, and that you've always been there, and that you love us and you care for us so much, and you were never going to leave us. Father, we love you so much, and we come to you as we are right here and are trusting you for your leadership in our lives. From this day forward, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Wow, so good. I'm so glad you're with us today. I would love to connect with you. If you'd like to connect with one of our Grow team leaders or one of our leaders at Beloved City Church, hello@belovedchurch.ca, that's how to get a hold of us. We'd love to connect with you and walk this, living this life out loud with Jesus as you continue to explore what it means to walk with Jesus. If you would like to take your next step to publicly declare your decision to follow Jesus by being baptized as Jesus commanded, he who believes and is baptized shall be saved, let us know. We would love to walk that out with you. Here's how you can live this out loud, friends, as an integral part of the Beloved City Church family. Will you take a step today to partner with us at Beloved to help us grow the day-to-day ministries? Here's how. Join our Big Table family. Make it official. Sign up for the next family discovery night. Discover what it means to be an integral part of this family, of this local church. Next, join the Grow team. Work alongside a serving team here at Beloved, serving back into the mission and help us grow a life-giving church. Let's make an impact together that we can and continue to practice living, giving, serving, and loving like Jesus. And last but not least, friends, will you respond today as an act of worship to God with your finances, with your money, by giving financially, partnering with us at Beloved City Church. Your financial giving, your partnership is helping us grow a dynamic Jesus-centered church in this city. Thank you so much. We love you. We are praying for you. May Jesus reveal himself to you and through you in a special way. In Jesus' name, amen.